Now we pray. Heavenly Father, again, we're grateful that we can have the strength to come to your house that you set aside for us, Lord, to worship you, not just on the grounds of common salvation, though that is true, but on the grounds of that which is very, very personal to each one of us from yourself, and then all together with yourself, Lord, growing in grace at this hour until there will be a bride to be taken away. By thoughts of grace, Lord, toward ourselves and each other, we believe that we're a part of that. Nor do we exclude anybody, Lord, but we do lay down the same rules that you lay down in your word of what the token is and what the evidence is to have received the token, and that which also applies from it to us in these lives that you want to see led by us for your glory. So help us, Lord, to not only know, as the prophet warned us so thoroughly, not only to know, but to receive and to manifest the grace of God which is given at this hour, which is, Lord, more abundant than has ever been before, a glory that shall not pass away. Help us to realize that, Lord, and to partake of it and demonstrate it, not as though we have ourselves or anything, Lord, but because you are the one doing it, and we are yielded vessels. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, as I mentioned, the Brother White's announcement is very, very good. Appreciate that very much. And the ladies, you thought you'd just soon make up sandwiches. That'll be just fine, too, save you doing something later on. The meeting is the important thing, and we have the hall now. And I certainly agree with that thought that we should be in a position whereby we can hopefully get out of the way and the Lord have his way with us. Now, this is number 9 in the token, and just a little preamble here to say that though Brother Branham's message on the token brings out the true, I say Brother Branham brings out the true but hitherto unknown revelation of the token, about the token, and that revelation now unreceived because the people of the church didn't want it, and that revelation being of what is doctrinally correct for this hour concerning that token, Brother Branham does not lay aside those truths that have already been preached and received by the people. Now, what I'm saying here is that Brother Branham has brought us great revelation in this hour that was totally unconceived by anybody. The truth was lost many ages ago, and that truth is not received. And he is not bringing, ultimately, a new doctrine as though everything was wrong concerning what people preach concerning the token. That's not so. He did not do that. He knew what the people had received in ages past was right for that age, but it wasn't right for this age, that the token himself must come, and with it a glory and a responsibility that could not have been in the other ages. And so because he spoke of the token himself coming in this age, and in this age only, which he did, plus the fact that the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost was receiving his own message, which is true, many people could not come to the conclusion that fruits and virtues and gifts were still a part of what Brother Branham was preaching. Now, that may sound strange, but it's true. I realize that because we've taken the same stand as Brother Branham, and the people around us criticize us as though we don't believe in fruit, don't believe in gifts, don't believe in communion, don't believe in a lot of things. That's wrong. It's an absolute lie. And so we are sort of going through and have gone through what I'm convinced Brother Branham went through by the churches, because they couldn't understand that he wasn't taking away anything. He was correcting and adding to it, coming up to full headship of both the head and the word. See? Now, Brother Branham preached a spirit-dominated life of fruitage and power, and he set the church in order and corrected his doctrine. Now, we've seen it all the way through in this message here. Now, last Sunday, we read how he spoke of applying the token to the entire household, especially speaking to parents, and he stressed very strongly that the godly life of love and respect as to the husband and wife and to children and back and forth, whereby people could discern Christ in them. And he spoke of Mark 16, and in no way did he deny its validity today. He did deny positively that sensations and tongues, he denied that they were the initial evidence, but he emphasized our rights to joy and peace and assurance and love and whatever gifts God had for us. Now, that's what you must always remember then in this message. It wasn't as though people had not received the Holy Spirit. We read and showed you why we're not an organization, that Luther and those men had a measure for their day, but it wasn't the full measure. As he said, you Lutherans potentially had the Holy Ghost. Didn't say they weren't baptized with the Holy Ghost. He said you potentially. In other words, they did. And he didn't go further back. He didn't say the other age had it, because they didn't. Because it was just coming back from death, where the church, the bride fell on the ground, as it were, and died, and now had to come back. And of course, the only life that could bring her back was resurrection life. Now, that life came up, passed on through the stalk, up through the leaves, up to the very tassel, up to the chaff, or the husk, and then passed into a grain. And you knew the grain was ready on the fact that we saw a ministry that was identical to the ministry that Jesus had when he was here in the flesh. So if the ministry was identical, then he who is spirit had to be here in the fullness of the spirit and at the head of the church. See, once the manifestation of death took place, then of course the word could come into preeminence and the great word himself could manifest himself and show that it was all one. That means then the bride is completely built up and getting ready for resurrection and a rapture. But the thrust of what I'm saying here at this moment is, do not for any moment deny, denigrate, or put in a lower bracket those truths that are so valid concerning the Holy Spirit itself, which are fruitage, virtues, power, and all those things that go with it. A life to be lived, and a life to scriptural. And though Brother Branham did emphasize on many occasions, and brings out here, we'll show it again tonight if we have time, as we come upon the quotes, of course, which we perhaps will read, that Brother Branham mentioned that the power of God would be manifested. In short, he said, if I have the life of Beethoven, the spirit of Beethoven, I will produce what Beethoven produced. Well, now you know and I know that for anybody to decide that he or she would produce the very life of Christ would not only be neurotic, but spiritually insane, because there's no way. It would have to be the God-given right by God himself to some person, if God was going to do it. And God done it. And it's to one person. So many times here, Brother Branham quotes, and he puts himself to one side and puts it as though the bride were doing it, or you and I were doing it. And you always got to go back and remember, he said, look, if my hand does it, the body does it. So therefore, if one man or the bride did it, then the bride did it. Because though they're individual, they're still a unity. And we're coming more and more to a unity than ever before. That's why there must be a unity of that word in our midst as never before. So that everything must come based upon the printed word. Because the life gave us the printed word through men. And now the life that gave the printed word is manifesting the printed word. It is identical. One God. And it's coming the way God intended it. So you just keep that in mind now. So we start where Brother Branham again admonishes all to be sure that they don't only understand this in the sense that they know what is going on, but they are partakers. You know, there's warnings going on all the time. All you got to do is subscribe to one little bitty thing that has any economics attached to it, and they give your name to everybody, and they write you these letters, and they send you these big, thick envelopes, all padded with 36 predictions for 1986. A sure way to make a killing, a sure way to make money. Great inflation is coming. Dow is going to hit 2,800. And it tells you how, in spite of inflation, by the year 2000, we're going to owe so many trillions of dollars, and that nothing can be done except on the grounds of keep inflating our money and making it, you know, free as the air, so to speak. And they've got all these things all ironed out for us. They've got it all told out exactly how great it's going to be, and here we just got to enter into it. Well, you know, they got it all ironed out in their own thinking, but it isn't going to work. Now, God's given us more than what these people can give us in the line of an education and economics, and the valuable understanding they have, so that though they present it and say, now here it all is, you and I, to make it work, would have to get right into it to make it work. Now, that's what Brother Branham is saying here. All the presentation that he has given us, all the vindication,
everything that's been manifested. Just like these fellas, these experts. I still don't know how to buy silver coins and whether I'm smart to buy silver. If I had enough money to buy silver, it's going to go to $40 an ounce. I don't think I think I had 100 ounces one time, and I forgot to sell it at 50. So I don't think I'm a very good businessman. I hope I'm a better Christian than a businessman. I don't know. But see, what I'm driving at is to show you that is the world is out here. It's got, and they've got an awful lot of truth in this world system. But, and is every 1,000th first America's a millionaire? Well, how many, anybody here, what is it, in our church, ought to get maybe 80 people? 60 adults, say. All right, 60. Well, could you qualify percentage-wise anybody here for being a millionaire? Percentage-wise. You're not be a millionaire. Just take a percent. You say, why every 1,000? What does 60 do? 60 goes into 1,000, what? 15 times? 16 times? 96? All right, 16. We've got 1/16. Let's see now. How far would it take a percentage wise? Get your calculator, Joe, put it on the computer. Tell us how we'd make out there. Well, you see, I know that's out there, but I just can't get a hold of it. See, that's in the spirit has done the same thing. Now, if you don't get a hold of this, and America's going to bankrupt, you and I's going to bankrupt with it. Now, if we can't get a hold of what God's given to this age, we're gone. See, now, you understand what he's saying here. Now, this is very important. And I maybe didn't make that too good an illustration, but I made it anyway, and I want you to know that I know what I'm talking about. And I believe that you know what I'm talking about. That when he said, you must be born again to Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, well, he said, Lord, nobody can do these things except what you do, except God with me, since you better be born again. He said, Nicodemus, don't just look at it and admit it. He said, you better get what it takes. Now, Brigham Branham is saying the same thing as John 3, 5 and 8, John 3, 16, right down the line. So this is what we're looking at. Now, I want to start then on page 36, and looking at the seventh paragraph. Just I missed a few in there, I think. It doesn't matter. It's a token. No matter how much you believe, how much you're circumcised, that's your conduct, that is a covenant God gave to Abraham, and so forth, that is a covenant, but you've got to get beneath the blood. That is the token. For he said, when I see the blood, I see the token, I'll pass, Israelite or any, that is denomination or non-denominational, either one, you must come up beneath the blood, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, denominational, whatever you are, it's for the individual, you've got to come beneath the blood. Now, let's face it. All those branches that he spoke of there, everybody talks about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you cannot talk about him except you understand and preach that he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, the Roman Catholics have no problem. I was always taught, you know, that they believed in Mary, that Mary was their Savior, some saints. That is not true. They are merely implicated in the act to help them get the benefits which really come through Jesus Christ. They're inducers. Really, they'd be seducers, but they're inducers. They're supposed to be inducers. Inducing God to move. So Mary comes and she said, well, look, I remember I'm your mother. And certainly you would do for me. So I'm pleading for that person that you work in their behalf. Hogwash. Now you'd say, now you Catholics, you be Mary can take it. No, it's Jesus. Now they believe it, but they haven't got it. Now the Protestants are the same, not throwing off on Catholics. Protestants are the same. Methodists, the whole bunch of them, just same thing. You go to the Mennonites, same thing. Now they were pretty strict people one time. Forget it. Short hair, slacks, the whole bit. Boogie-woogie women that run their husbands, run them plumb on the ground. And there's nothing stinker than a self-righteous, self-sanctified Mennonite Nazarene. I'm talking now, they're right across the board, the Mennonite doctrine, the Armenian. Then you take the eternal security, he's got the same thing on the other side of the fence. They haven't got it either, they talk about it. Because it's listening. Brother Branham stated it so perfectly. The life that was in the blood of the Lamb could not come back upon them, but the life was shed and the blood was the chemistry indicating. Now the life does come back. So they talk about the blood all they want, but without the Holy Ghost, whose life was given, the life of Christ, there is no blood. See, that's what we're looking at and trying to understand here in this message. And there's an urgency here. to get away from your own thinking and listen to a man that was vindicated. Now, he said, just don't talk about it. Receive it. Hear me. Hear me in the name of the Lord. Hear me. Now, that's pretty strong language. See, because the baptism proves you're under the blood. The message of his presence is not enough. That's one thing that kind of scares me, when I'm having preached it all these years now from 1977. That's 8 years now. And I'm not going to cease preaching it. Because it's realer today than it was a year ago. Now, got to come beneath the blood. He was not responsible for any person from beneath the blood. Remember, the life was shed. And that life couldn't come back. Now, the shedding of the blood clears the way for the life that couldn't come back. So the blood stood there as a token. Now the blood has cleared the way for the life that can come back. So if the blood then has been applied to the heart, the Holy Ghost has to come in. See, our brother Brandon categorically said the reason people don't receive the Holy Ghost is because they haven't thoroughly repented. Now, some people think, well, repentance is feeling sorry enough. Well, that's godly sorrow work of repentance. Repentance is thoroughly change your mind, get your head out of the way. Now, can't they read the Apostle Paul and see that his head was his biggest trouble? The donkey's biggest trouble, too. Or the big head. The big brain that goes with it. Now, listen. Got to come beneath the blood. He was not responsible for any person from beneath the blood. God made it clear that from all under the blood would perish. May I use his words? All outside of Christ will perish. Well, then how do you get in Christ? You've got to have a life. If you got a life, you're in Christ. If you don't have a life, you're not in Christ. How do you get in Christ? 1 Corinthians 12, by one spirit, not by handshake, membership, denomination. That is what they're trying to make it. They may do that. But by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. I told you that. I can't forget her name, though. She's a nice, real nice Presbyterian lady. Missionary in China. A very lovely person, very consecrated, very, very sober, sincere. And she knew the Lord, as I suppose as much as anybody could know the Lord in that particular arena. And we were talking one day, and she told me she had been in Houston, I believe it was, or Dallas or somewhere, where the late Dr. Lee was preaching. I'm sure he's passed on now. He's an old man then. And I'd read his books and his sermons, and I was so very thrilled with what I read, I couldn't help but, tell people what I thought. And I told her how tremendous the privilege she had in listening. She said, you know, Brother Vales, your face got kind of funny looking. She said, I don't like to tell you this, but she said, I think you'd better know. She said, I was just there a couple Sundays ago. And Natalie preached one of the greatest sermons I have ever heard on salvation, the preaching of the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and the rebirth. He said, will you come forward now? And he said, shake my hand. He said, now you're saved. You know, that's no different from a Roman Catholic priest who was a redhead, and there are very few of them, who many years ago in Canada, in Red Deer, Alberta, and I never heard him, but my friends did go to hear him, said he preached the most tremendous message on repentance they'd ever heard in their lives, preached the scripture right down the line, repent. And they said, now go to your priest and confess. Well, you see, that's Catholic, hogwash, that's Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, that's a whole bunch of them. There's no one that's not charged with the stick, because every table's full of vomit. See, you've got to understand that all outside will perish, not by handshake, by one spirit baptized. If an angel from heaven teaches anything else, said Paul, let him be accursed. That is the message, come into Christ. That's exactly right. Way back over here, he said, the evening message is to apply the token. So to apply the token is to commit to Christ. Let any person outside the token, look, any person outside the token, God was not responsible, and God is not responsible for any person, big or small, popular or unpopular, rich, poor, bond or free, male or female. He is not responsible for anybody that is from under the token. Now, the message is committed to Christ, and he said, now, God's not responsible if you don't come under the token. So the message and the token in this hour have to be synonymous. That's why he said, nothing outside of this message will come to light. See? So let us not let any doctrine or any reality we acknowledge take the place of this. Come into Christ according to a last day message. Now you could do it according to Pentecost back there. That's gone. Now, I know people say, but just a minute. No, no, just a minute. Listen, that word never changes. A word for an hour, and the light keeps coming up. And when you turn your back on light, there is no light in you, because the light was the light of men. See? And men love darkness rather than light. So therefore, when Christ has been revealed, who is the Word, and men reject that which has been revealed, there is no hope of salvation, because they're turning down the blood and the life of the one they claim to believe, which is Christ. I hope that didn't confuse you, but that's a true sentence. See? He is not responsible. You say, oh Lord, I did this, I cast out devils. Lord, I did this, I preached the gospel. He said, depart me, you that work iniquity. Iniquity. Unrighteousness. See? The deeds of Cain were evil. I know everybody thinks that, oh, killing his brother was evil. That was a dirty, rotten trick. But the evil deed was worshiping God, not according to the Word. In self-worship, he worshiped God in his own revelation, turning down what was vindicated. That was the evil thing. Killing the brother was merely, as Brother Branham said, sin is unbelief. Smoking, drinking, lying, murder. They're merely attributes. But the sin is unbelief. Oh, that's exactly true. See? Now, he said he only recognizes the token. Do you hear it? Say amen. He must have said amen. Now, so, it is upon you. The people said amen. He said, now you're stuck with it, and I'm not. Now, a lot of people could sit there, and they didn't understand Brother Branham was saying, in the sense that they were willing to go all the way. Like Brother Branham would stand there, and you heard him on tape many times, and talk about Matthew 28:19, baptizing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I mean Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and explain what it was, and catch their thoughts, and said, now he said, you're not agreeing. How could some Trinitarian sit in an audience under that man and not agree when they had not a leg to stand on? Now, you can see where perversion goes, Brother Citra. It goes right to the stinking immorality of the hybrid mind that's full of pride. There's only one reason a man can't get his mind out of the way, because he's too full of pride. Because, well, no, I don't think that's so. Well, if it isn't so, why do we try to figure our own ways out instead of going God's way? Why are there ramifications there? You could catch me on that to one degree and say, well, Brother Vail, we're afraid. What are we afraid of? That's pride again. You've got more faith in yourself than God, and you can't trust yourself either. And so they got so it all falls back on the devil, so we trust the devil. Nice boy, devil, come in. Hallelujah. I'm not blaspheming. I'm just laying you right down where a human heart is and where a human mind is. See, somebody's got to say it. I don't claim I've got it. You're not looking at me. I'm one of those guys that tell you, don't do as I do as I say. Be honest with you. I never stood up here and lied to you. No intended. Now it's upon you. Sitting down there in the woods the other day, that's he's out hunting, you see, the boys. Here's 2 days. I didn't shoot a squirrel. What's the matter? What was it? The boy said, place it upon them. It said, you have talked to me about it. Now it's in your lap. It's in yours. Okay. Now, Brother Branham is going back on a conversation with God, because it's a conversational matter, face to face. Sorry, now God said, you talked to me about it, and you know the truth. Now put it on your lap. I put it in yours, you put it in theirs. Because you're the go-between. All right? Place it upon him. He won't recognize anything but that covenant of the Holy Spirit. And you cannot receive that covenant unless you are saved, sanctified, and baptized into the body. See, he sticks with his original concept. Justification, sanctification, baptism. You might have an impersonation. Something or some substitute. You might feel good. Jump up and down. Speak in tongues, even dance the spirit. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. Hear it in the name of the Lord. God doesn't recognize that. Heathens do that. Witches do that. Now, that's pretty strong language, but I would say that's very much the truth. All right, now, this is the covenant, he says, above all covenants. For God made a covenant to us, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And that covenant fulfilled brings all the other covenants into effect. Because if you have this, then you have the rest. If you don't have this, you don't have any of the other. See? But if the super covenant is not fulfilled enough, the other covenants are abrogated, especially when I see the blood. Because God is interested in looking not at us, but seeing us hearing our voices through the blood and seeing Christ our representative. That's how that works, according to prophets. That's abrogated without the baptism with the Holy Ghost. See, the covenant, that's the covenant of all covenants. It's the super covenant. Reading on. You say, I'm a scholar. I do this, that, the other. He doesn't care how much scholar you are. The devil is too, see? Oh, your devil's a great scholar. He only recognizes the token. That is the message of the hour. That is the message of this day. That is the message of this time. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive it. You notice in here, he said, first of all, back in 62, my message is to declare that he is here. And he said, here, my message is to come into Christ. My message is to apply the token. Evening time message. The message is, God only recognizes the token. And then he said, this is the message of the hour, the day, the time, or the generation. In other words, there is only one thing that's going to hold anybody instead. When it all boils down to the nitty-gritty. I know the doctrine of the rapture, absolutely, the shout, the voice, the trumpet. Yes, sir, I got that all down pat. I understand all these things over here in the future. Yes, sir, that's great. I understand where the break between the seals and all those things there, too. I understand all this over here. That's very good. But are you full of the Holy Ghost? Now, see, that is what counts. Now, somebody says, well, I tell you what, I've spoken in tongues. I danced with spirit. I had a real sensation. That's very, very good. Nothing against it. But that's not the evidence. See, that's not it. Not a substitute. Something the devil can place over on you. Like a phony love to make a man love some other woman beside his wife. Or a wife, some other beside her husband. Something dishonorable. That is not real love. That is the devil. That is his work. It is something he has tried to hatch instead. By joying and drink and feel good about it. See, I got the blues. I'll get a quart of liquor and forget it. That is death. God is your joy. God is your strength. Knowing the message. Knowing the truth. That is our sufficiency. He is my all sufficiency. In him, all things I have need of are in him. He is my strength. My help cometh from the Lord. You Christians, look to him for your joy. Look to him for your strength. Look to him for your happiness. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my love. He is my life. This covenant, that covenant, the token upon the door. Now what's he saying here? He's saying what we've preached all along on love and all these virtues and fruit. You can have any amount you want, but unless it comes out of the Holy Ghost, which is liquid word, which is word life, you've got a phony love. It's hypocritical. It's love with dissimulation, which is hypocritical. It's a feigned faith. The whole thing is in a garbage tin. Now, I don't care how you've dressed it up and how pretty it is, because I dare say that you could take a piece of arsenic, and by some little charming way you have of dressing it up, you can make it look like a nice caramel candy. It'll kill the kid just as dead if he had it in a solution that looked horrible, made him think he's drinking blood or something. He's just a dead. So you see here, Brother Branham never did take away these principles. The joy, the love, the deeper sentiments, all of those things. Never took it away. But it has to be rooted in here. See? If it's not rooted in there, it's what value is it? See? Now, there's no binding of God's oath to us unless we ask for and receive the very light we see manifested by the pillar of fire. Now, that covenant is an oath. Now, there's no use asking for him to work apart from what he is today and what he's doing today. That's why he said, when you pray, he said, hold the token over your unwavering faith. See? And his message is very good for those full of the Holy Ghost, because he reveals to them the depth and the power that lies in the Holy Ghost. For a man's true strength is not responsible for one person, he says. One person, no matter who you are. He is not responsible from under it. And remember, all the family was brought together. Now, there you are. All right, let's look at that one. And I hope, of course, we caught this. The vindicated God and the vindicated prophet, which is the vindicated token. That together bring it into view. See, God's a vindicated token through a vindicated prophet. Right? Christ appearing in this hour puts God out of debt to every creature, for his every word has been manifested, and this means it is to be received now as our token or to perish. And that's exactly true. Remember. Now, that might be true too. He said, oh, remember, you say my daddy was a preacher, my brother, my pastor, my this or that. That might be true too. What about you? Remember, only safe when the token was displayed. Now, I'm not telling you here that you got something, and well, it really doesn't matter unless you manifest it. Well, he's talking about the fact that you've got to literally have the token in your possession. That is your display. Although works will come out of it, fruitage and virtues and power, all will come out of it if we ever learn to get out of the way. Let me just give you an idea what it says over here in the book of Ephesians. I think I can swing to it quickly. And the 20th verse of chapter 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask of him, according to the power that worketh within us. Well, it actually says, unto him who in the exercise of his power, that is at work within us, is able to do infinitely beyond our highest prayers or thoughts to his glory. Now, what he's saying in here is, by the God exercising his own power within us. See? Man learning to get out of the way. Now, that might be true too. What about you? Remember, only safe when the token was displayed, that you actually had it. If a man was under here, and the token, that is, the blood, and his son across the street, he was in danger. He would perish. His daddy would be safe. Or if the son was over here, his daddy over there, his daddy would perish. See? When I see the token, I'll pass over you. Now watch what he's saying. When I see the token, I'll pass over you. So there isn't any assurance and surety outside of the token. No matter what anybody does. No matter what anybody has received. No matter what can be accomplished. See? You've either got that or you don't have it. Now, if you got it, there's where you are safe. So, therefore, the superimposition of the token has nothing to do with the individual who has it per se. Nothing at all. It is a free gift on the grounds of grace and faith. And that by election and predestination. So what I'm trying to get across to you is this. It doesn't matter about you. Now, sure, you should have fruit. I should have a lot of fruit. Sure. A greater manifestation of power. Greater consecration to miracles and things that God can work amongst us. I'm not against that at all. I'm for it. Not as much for it as I should be. But I'm going to tell you one thing. That hasn't got a thing to do with it. It's got to the place now where the devil's crown can produce all of that. They've got an anointing. See? But he said, when I see the token, you are all right. We say, where does it lead me? It leads you under grace. Not that you should not be producing these things, but the production of those things has nothing to do with it. Get that Holy Ghost. Then think of the other things. See, people always want to get the cart before the horse. Oh, talk, talk, talk. Work, work, work. Produce, produce, produce. Magic, magic, magic. Ha, now believe. Devils can do it. Now where are you sitting at? Now what do you got? You put your faith in something that came out of something. That's not it. You put your faith in it. Because what comes out of the something that you're producing it. It's producing it through you. Now the thing is this. You want the goose that laid the golden egg, or do you want the egg? Well, that's getting pretty crass when I got to put it that way, but that's the truth. Now you know Pentecost sold their heritage for a gift of tongues. They sold their shoes for the tongues that came with the shoes. And they got blistered feet. And that's why they simply got tongues. They got nothing to walk in and nothing to do with. Now, you might think they have, but that's you think all you want. Be my guest. You go whichever way you want. But I'm trying to show you something. He said, when I see the token, I will pass over you. When I see what the blood purchased and you've laid claim by believing, Acts 2, 37 and to 39, and you have gotten the water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm looking for. Come in, friend. Because even when you're born again, he still does not see you, but hears your voices through the blood. And looks on Jesus for the representative. Well, I think I'm nice enough now, Lord, full of your lovely Holy Ghost and these lovely gifts, and now you can look at me. I don't think you made it, honey. If you've got that spirit, I'm going to tell you something. If you've got that spirit, you don't belong in this church here. You better find yourself another church. I'll be honest with you. You ain't going to be happy here. You will not be happy here. There's no reason to be happy. I'll come out swinging. So if that's Brother Dale, because you don't produce nothing. Never said it didn't. You don't either. You try and tell me one thing you've done, even with what God gave you. Oh, there's a striving, brother, sister, but Brother Brown is bringing his cross with the desperation, his message. Look, are you missing the point of who is here and why he is here? It's to get you out of here. And it couldn't be done any other way in this strategic, ethical season. He said, when I see a part of my life in you, and remember, it's just the same as my own entire life. Brother Branham brought it out. I read it to you a couple times, Thursday times ago. That's what I'm looking for. Now, we do look for the other two. See? All right. You say, my son's a preacher. Your mother say, I got the best boy and the best girl. I tell you, they're the sweetest thing. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Such love. They're obedient. I never saw such. What about you, Mama? You say, my mother's the sweetest thing. No, she dies, she's going to heaven because she really got the token. Brother Branham, well, what about you, sis? The whole family must be brought under it. Are you tired? Just, I'll close them in, he said. He didn't quite make the minute. I could cut off and start again tonight. I'll try to hurry. While the anointing's on, it's better to do it now. Only when the token is displayed. Now, there again, don't be confused as though you've got to say, well, hey, there's gifts. I better have a gift. Now, what about the fruit I should have? Now, that's all good. Now, listen, it's all good, but that's not it. Because devils can do the same thing, but the devil can't handle the word. So there's one evidence. Do you see him and him? Do you know the difference? Do you know who he is and who he is? Do you know his name? Do you understand his position? Has it been revealed to you? Then you're no stranger to God, but has been. Because you won't get any other way. Your full obedience to the word of God is Acts 2:37-39. It's in John 8. Lifting up his voice and crying, come unto me and drink. The promise, your covenant, that's your full obedience. Then tell me, how many people have fully obeyed Acts 2:37-39. Repent, be baptized, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One out of what? How many million? And those who have been, who understand and really believe. Well, you say, well, when I got baptized, I couldn't understand anything, but I knew that was right. That's perfect. Have you come on since then? God never let you to stagnate. Every age brings on new revelation. With new responsibility. With greater glory. Both for God and the people involved in it. See, there's just, your brother said, this thing is not going to close off. When Ezekiel saw the water flow from the eastern gate of the temple, it made a river he could just float across on. See, we're on that now. We're on our voyage. Only when the tokens are played, and the whole family is under the token of blood. Papa, Mama, I know how you feel. I got children, too. I got to see them saved. I'm talking to myself today. I got brothers. I got a sister. I got loved ones. I want to see them saved, too. But remember, without the display of the token, they'll perish. There is no resurrection for them. I'll destroy root and branch in this hour. Remember, listen, a while ago, old message or two ago, I was talking, Brother Bannon mentioned the judge. Over there in Revelation, what is it, 1 and 12? I never can remember, so I'll just look it up this time for a second. Oh, no, it's 1 and 12, I turn to see the voice. And then, of course, it's over there, verse 14, the judge in the ring of angels. Now, remember, before that ring of angels came, Brother Branham preached the Patmos vision, and he said, I called my friend Jack Moore, a notable Pentecostal theologian, and I said, Jack, why is it that way? Well, he said, that's because of his stature and his glory and majesty, his glorified figure. And Brother Branham said, that did not cut with him. It doesn't hit. That was not even on it. And then God revealed it was the judge. Then notice, Brother Branham took that right over to Daniel. The great white throne. The ancient of days. It is the same one. See? So, now here we see here, when he said, here, there is no resurrection for them. So he took them right over to Daniel 1,000 years later. It's the same one. You understand, from the point on he declared himself judge, he does not cease to be judge. Because it's unfolded. It's like he's still son in this hour. Because that was the unfolding. So when God gave, what did he do? God from himself given in himself the person of the Son in the form of the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said that. See, it's opened up channels of understanding. Now, you tell me, you and I have an idea, a modicum of understanding of these things without having genuinely received the Holy Ghost. Well, you say, well, Paul said you have all knowledge. We didn't get a knowledge that way. We got it by a revelation the prophet gave and we took it. It wasn't something we studied out. Amen. Something we went to school for, like second generations and so on. See, that's not so. You'll be glad you came to this service, don't worry. You'll be glad. I don't speak out of turn when I talk. You'll find out someday. I don't speak out of turn, but you'll find out. Yeah, looking you all in the eye, you'll find out one day. Things are said once in a while. I will not go back on them. I'm no prophet. But you'll find out. Now it says there's no resurrection. I'm going to leave neither root nor branch. That's right. Let's go back to Ephesians and see the same thing. Brother, let me tell you something. You crisscross this word back and forth. You'll never change the word of God. No, revelation's revelation. Look what he says in 1 Ephesians 1, 13-14. There is your guarantee of redemption. Then down over here in verse 17 and 18 brings you to 19, which is the resurrection. Then turning down this and this, how will there be a resurrection? He said he burns the chaff, and the chaff turns to tares. That's right, they're gone. Only when the token is displayed. Then how can a person doubt his resurrection? When I see the token, I will resurrect you. When I see the token, I will immortalize you. In the meantime, there are works. There is fruitage. There are virtues. There's gifts. Now, you remember how I showed you that in Ephesians 4, starting from the top. He said, I'm going to hell. Send my spirit back. He came back as the Holy Ghost. That was the vicar of the man Jesus in the body form, God in human flesh. Then he said, I'm going to raise up ministries. So he took the Apostle Paul, and from him came a fivefold. And from that come people. Right on down the line. See? Right on down. Just till it's personal work. Personal manifestation, witnessing. That's all the way it should be. Everyone's got to have a token. And it doesn't say, hey, I can see that you have a great office. And I can see that you're going to work like a prophet. In fact, I see you are a prophet. In fact, your name is Balaam. But you missed it because you don't have the token. Now, see, Moses. Moses didn't prophesy one bit better than you did, Balaam. Oh, he didn't either. Don't tell me. Don't tell me Balaam prophesied one bit better than Balaam. He didn't. He prophesied more. Didn't prophesy one bit better. Balaam's prophecy still coming to pass. Oh, yeah. But Moses got the token. And God took off of Moses enough token for 70 men and had more left on Moses. Now you bring that today. God put everything in Jesus Christ and then took a little teeny bit off him for each one of us. That's where we are right now. Now look, Joshua, we had time to read it. Mark it out. He's going to go into Rahab the harlot now. So maybe we can read this real fast. harlot, Gentile, watch. All her family, she's a believer. All her family had to get under that scarlet streak. That token that they had to get under to perish. They had heard of the wrath of God. They had heard of the displaying signs and miracles of God among his people. And they had to receive it She had to receive it. God's destroying angel was coming. They knew it. Joshua was that angel. They were in line. So is every nation in the line, in the world, in line of God's judgment. Now notice, I want to warn you again, he is talking of himself. Even though he is illustrating from the Old Testament, which is example to us. All right. This little harlot, she had heard, say, come to hearing, see. She said, all the countries are disturbed about you. That is right. He's talking about himself. All denominations, everybody. Now, the spies were sent in there to make arrangements and so forth. And she honored those men. And she wanted to be saved. And she said, I know that your God is God, and I've heard great things that he has done. I know what he did to Og, and I know what he did to the different nations. I see that those who accept him are saved, and those that do not accept him are destroyed, and I want to live. Now, when Brother Branham's ministry was full-blown and never lasted too long, except the discernment, the sign of Messiah, the sign of the resurrection right amongst the people turned it down, turned it down, turned it down, but there were those like the harlot. Now, a harlot is a woman used by every man. And you will find in each one of us, we did not have the denominational spirit. We couldn't take it. We wanted to get out. We were rovers. We couldn't have it. Now, this didn't satisfy it, and we can't hack this. We'll look for something else. And when you do, I'll say, well, that's fine. I hope you find something. But you aren't going to. Or you'll find something, but it won't be the real thing. Because God cannot vindicate himself on a vindication. Now, you and I may take Epsom salts and make the castor oil work, but not God. God doesn't have two lotions. He shed the blood, there is the life. And it was one. The speaking blood, the Holy Ghost talking back to us. Brother Brown's ministry turned down. Oh my, there you are. I want to live for. I don't want to perish, he says. Notice, Jericho had heard what God was doing, but they didn't want to take the warning. And there isn't, now watch what I said was true. She's going to write back herself. And there isn't a denomination this country round but what has heard what God is doing. They don't want to take the warning. His great power and signs have been displayed. Now, Brother Sister said, you believe that's true? Sure it is. Well, let's get the picture. Now, I'm not speaking evil of any man, but David Duplessis, Mr. Pentecost, sold out Pentecost to the ecumenical systems of the world. He's the man that got to the bishops, the archbishops, the cardinals, the emissaries, legates, and he got to the Pope. He got to the World Council of Church Heads, Dr. Mackay and all the rest of them. Friend of bosom, pal, buddy-buddy with the whole bunch. And there's no way, therefore, that they do not know through that man about this, though you denigrate it and deny it. Because he himself is a product in this sense that his ministry only blossomed and boomed after Brother Branham. Because there's always twins. Sometimes I think they're triplets, quadruplets, and octuplets. And they come by the thousands later on, but they start with twins. Start with twins, see. Now listen. They didn't want to take warning. His great power and signs had been displayed. What he did, he crossed right through the Red Sea, as if they were on dry land. He created things and made frogs, lice, and priests come into the air. And he created them by his word through his prophet. That was no secret. They knew it. Now, let's understand this one thing. Brother Branham says this concerning himself, though no man saw this outside of William Branham. Now, why did he say it? To see if you and I believe. Number one. Number two, he knew it happened, and here is where his voice of authority and assurance and power lay, because he knew it. But as I told you before, I don't care how many things you would trade. I would marvel at that too, but it's no more marvelous than to see that cord lie at his feet and he didn't move one inch.
Amen.
How'd the cord become untangled from his feet? You see, I think life miracles, well, that's a miracle right there. Who needs another one? If you've seen one miracle, you've seen it all. All you need to see. Anybody needs to see more, he'd ask for trouble. See? Now, no token received unless the prophets received, and the prophet said, God created through my words, because he said created them by his word through his prophet. He talks about himself. Say, well, I can't believe that. Then you got no token. So I think that narrowing it down, brother, I don't need to say that. Well, I think I should say it, and I said it, and I'm going to say it again.
Amen.
It goes together. I don't see any problem. You read your book, the prophet did it. Oh, great prophet. You're bigger than God, I can see, Amos, old boy. And Isaiah, they're dead. No, they're alive, like in the first resurrection, first half of the first resurrection. Huh?
Something wrong with people's thinking. Thank God it's not our thinking, because we're trying to be, we're believing to be renewed in the mind by the Holy Ghost.
And Rahab said, I've heard that. I don't want to perish with those unbelievers. No, sir. No judge. You must know the judgment had to follow because they were right in line. Telling us now. She knew it. So, and listen, who doesn't know we're right in line? Even the politicians know it. I think they know more than the theologians know it. So they made a way for her to escape it. They must have believed that their own big denomination in Jericho was not able to resist the wrath of God. Their own big denomination. That is what many of them think today. Oh, surely God won't do that. That is what Satan said to Eve. Oh, surely God won't. He will, because he said he would, and that is his word. Yes, sir, and a prophet ought to know. Anybody knows a prophet knows. Except a man be born, and these signs follow them that are born. This will all men know that you are my disciples, and so forth. Now, he doesn't abrogate these things that come with the rebirth. He believes in them. We believe in them. But they are not in the major sense of the truth. Now, if one has the token, no scripture is turned aside. Yet all are in their proper places after their values and importance. And healing is important. And as the sign of the resurrection amongst us, in the ministry of Brother Branham, that was all important as vindication to bring us to the Word. But if it was vindicated to bring us to the Word or manifested to bring us to the Word, then what is the important thing? Not the sign that points to the bus, but the bus. So it's the Word. The Word of truth. Why? It's the gospel of our salvation. No Word of truth, no gospel for salvation. And what is salvation? It's closer now than when we believed, which is what? Healing in the wings, which is what? Glorification. Getting out of here. All right, wanted to do it. Oh, what happened? Now they were shut up. No revival was going to happen here. So they're closed down, in other words. All right, and I'll make no response to such. Now, if they'd have found old Rahab had that red streak out there, that red cord out there, and for what purpose? They'd have ripped it out of the window and chopped her head off and a bunch in there. But, you know, God blinds them. He's got a beautiful way of doing things, just simple. We'll not have that kind of nonsense amongst us. I forbid any of you to go that mean. Jericho, right in line of the damned. To turn down a prophet, to turn down God, is to bring on condemnation. Turn down mercy, but you don't turn down wrath. It'll get you. But there must have been some tape boys sitting in somewhere for the predestinated seed. They stepped over to her house and played some tapes. She made her own house a church to receive the message. They still got to be known. The message got to the predestinated seed anyhow. We don't know how it got there. And Brother Band's been dead 20 years. We're still talking the message. So the just will not perish with the unjust. God is seeing to that today. What's he talking about? Not that. Genesis 18. This comes out of Genesis 18. And we are in Genesis 18. The Son of Man revealed. The Son of Man manifested. The days of the Son of Man. Elohim in human flesh. Anyone knows? No, they don't know. No. The message got to Bethany City anyhow. We don't know how it got there, but it got there. So the just will not perish the unjust. God is seeing to that today. Some way it'll slip in. They don't know how, so they won't sponsor it, but there is some seed out there that's predestinated. That's what Brother Branham went to the full God's businessmen. And they all came from different shapes and forms. And some he got. Anyone knows that the Bible knew the harlot was predestinated. Sure was. The Bible said she perished not with them that believe not. That's predestinated. That is right. She believed the message hour. God gave her a sign by his messenger, said, take a scarlet streak and tie it in your window there down the wall. Remember, you don't tie that streak there and leave it there. What we've escaped by, we're not responsible for our oath. And said, if you're out from under it, we're not responsible. Oh, my. In other words, it's just the thing would happen. Here it is. And they said, no. Then they're not under it. Then there's no headship. And there's got to be headship to raise the dead. Then they won't be in the resurrection. I'm just making a loud noise to emphasize. I've got nothing against the people. I'm sorry for it when I start to think about it. But this is not this and this and this is not my word. Am I going to change this? Preach something else. Well, I think Brother Brown was just a little bit too crass and crude. Not that I, oh, brother. I should be saying even words like that, washing my mouth with soap. The old-fashioned lie bar. Brother Brown's the sweetest, humblest man I ever saw in my life. And he's screaming out at people to just get them, as he said, you see somebody out there, you'll say, hey, little boy, come in off the street. Truck can hear you scream, little boy. You scream out to get him off the street. You scream louder and that truck makes a noise. Full of gravel and humping down potholes. For a bunch of honking geese going over. You scream out to overcome any noise and get the word out there, see? All right, anyone knows that about the Bible. The Bible said she predestinated and did not die. Now, Rahab, every predestinated seed in there, you get out of there and go hunting them. Now, notice that. This is the evangelism of this hour. End time evangelism. We have been warned by a vindicated prophet of God. Okay, Seventh-day Adventists, British Israel Armstrong, there's no such thing as you worship on a Saturday, and that's the Holy Ghost, because it's not. If it is, produce what this man produced. Now go ahead. Armstrong's dead. He died the other day. 80,000 followers. How many sealed in? Because he worshiped on Saturday? Hogwash. The man perverted every scripture in the Bible to get his hands on. And you couldn't change him, because why? He's so puffed up in his own smugness that the vindication of God meant nothing. And Pentecost, just as smug, had their Balaam. Where are the screwballs? Well, these. When a screw gets in a thing, it holds nice and tight, and the ball can roll. Roll right in them pearly gates. They're not going to take us away either. Yeah, already have every blessing you see in it. You get out, go hunting them. End time evangelism. Preach the prophet, preach God. Give them the truth. Get your daddy, your mother. If we just come from under the atonement down in Egypt, and everything that we didn't have under that token perished. Rahab, I'm going to give you a sign. It is a token. And I say in the name of the Lord, it is the same. Now, Brother Brand says that to you and me. If you'll put that, I'm acquainted that with that messenger. I'm acquainted with the angel of wrath, Joshua, God's destroying messenger. And you remember, you're Joshua, Jesus' Savior. And I'm acquainted with Jesus. I talk face to face. Yep. And he knows that there has to be a token sign. And you hang that there, I'll assure you, and I take oath. Brother Brown spoke face to face through the fire, and he takes oath now. God took oath too, that what was out from under it would perish, and that all under it would live. Now you see, there's a double oath there. I'm going to make sure, said he, you live, I'm going to make sure they die. Now you say, that doesn't sound like God. You better change the Bible. You should better do something about it. See? Nothing outside of the vindicated, rather, nothing outside of the vindicated token has life. See? And this also, which is vindicated, is the life of God, and him being life, this is God. So God's his own token. God's his own surety. Judge, jury, and everything else. Now the oath, the same oath is today, the same thing. I will not let you perish with them who don't believe the message. Whew. Didn't say anything about token. No, he said message. What's the token all about? To bring us the message. She had heard the works they had done, and she believed it. But her father, a couple of brothers or something, were the only ones that believed in the whole city. See how few it is? Just one here, one there. A little family will come up from a state. Is that right? Exactly. Now we're talking facts. Man, I'm telling you, I'm talking facts. Maybe one family in the state. If you're going to see what the antitype is, you have to see what the type was first. You have to see what the shadow is. Then you know what the real thing is going to look like. His power was displayed. Judgment was in line. They must believe in order to be saved. Yes, sir. And these fellows went in there, these messengers, and caught that predestinated seed to believe. She used her house for church to receive these messengers. They wouldn't let them in the churches. No, sir, they won't let you either. They kicked you out if you say anything about it. They got all in her city that would believe under the token. That's exactly what we better do today. If you want some loved ones saved, you had better get them in right now. In other words, you've got a duty to tell them. And that's as far as you can go, brother, since you can't give it to them. When God's wrath destroyed that big city, the token sign held her house safe. It sure did. Archaeology proved that.
How do you do it? The token, the sign was on her token, or the token was on her house. That's what he meant to say. The sign that they saw, the token, was on her house. It was there. When the rest of the city shook to the ground, he said, what did it? What held it? What held it? He said, Joshua, the messenger of God, God himself, recognized his messenger's message. Now watch that. God himself recognized his messenger's message. Well, sure he had to. Because God gave him. And he wouldn't recognize anything else. Amen. He proved it. He proved it. He recognized the message. He recognized his messenger's message. And when all the rest of the city shook down, there stood Rahab's scarlet token over the door. The rest gone. What about today? God recognizes the prophet's message, which is of the token. And the whole thing is the token in display. Now, he displayed it. A manifestation. He said, look, everything you see is the token. Do you want a part of it? See, that's the whole thing. You say, well, if I have a part of that, that would make me to know everything's got to be all right with me. That's exactly the truth. There's where you get the assurance. Not from the fruit and those things that you produce are produced in you by this, although that's great. That can be duplicated. But the other can't. Then right straight up went the destroying angels. He pluralized this. The people, the soldiers. And destroyed everything within the city. Not even a piece of goods was left. One took a piece of goods and had to perish with it out of that denomination. Took the whole thing and destroyed it. Cursed be the man that ever tries to build it. His firstborn will die when he starts. In other words, he gets cut off. There's no lineage. That's what he's trying to tell you. The firstborn means if it's gone, then it's all gone. There's no inheritance. There's no lineage. Under the token, if there's no token there, the lineage is gone. You're cut off. It's finished. No inheritance, no nothing. Name out of the Lamb's book, name out of the book of life. Not Lamb's book, that couldn't happen. The book of life. See? Took the whole thing, destroyed it. Cursed be the man who tried. Okay. That big thing that rejected the message of grace and mercy, they thought they were safe and secure. And they said, who needs William Branham? Well, he can't be right. He talks about one God. Everybody knows you're three. And this junk about baptism in Jesus Christ. What is that anyway? Why, that simply means that there's... But it just means you do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. I take my bowl of soup. I put my clothes on in the morning. I end my prayers. So, I baptize the Father, Son, and Holy in the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody does that? They're wrong. That is the name, Lord Jesus Christ. Tells who and what it is. Positioning. And above all, for the hour. If you only knew it. Many people think that because they belong to church, I'm safely secured. Don't believe such nonsense. The blood shall be a token. Of course, it's here today. The Spirit now is a token unto you, the light that was in the blood. Just think of that. The same token that they used in Egypt. The same light token that was in Egypt. God used the same symbol up there. What symbol up there? Where? In Jericho. What was it? Red. Signifying blood. Signifying life. Well, you'll be okay. Bring the family in. Now, let's face it. If it was that simple, under the blood of the Lamb, it should be much simpler today. See? Because remember, they were elect according to flesh. We according to spirit. And therefore, it makes no difference. Election is election, and they will come in. They just claim. Keep on believing. Now, there's where you use love. That comes out of the token. It's like they asked Irma Brombeck, which I read once in a while, because I kind of appreciate a dry sense of humor. They said, Mrs. Brombeck, Irma Brombeck, is a mother. How do you feel about, what do you say is the greatest thing in raising children? She said, here's what I found, the greatest thing is this, that you must give them love at the time they least deserve it. I thought the old girl is something on the ball. She does, you can tell that she's a pretty fascinating woman when it comes to understanding many things of this life. But does she understand this? The answer is no. See, not many mighty, not many smart, not many journalists. The old cliche was they could not see him from the press. It sure stands in good. All your Dan Rathers may be smart men. And your late Edward G. Murrow and the rest of them, although I don't have much use for what he practiced. Too liberal in my books. You look at all those people. They all obscure God. And unfortunately, we do too. That's why God must have a token, something of himself on us, or it would never work.
And when you look at it, you understand what I'm saying. You say, well, that's sure a good thing that God has got something outside of us. It certainly is good. But then you don't do desperate to that and say, well, if that's the case, I do what I want to do. See, everything falls into balance. Joshua, perfect type of Jesus, was true to the token sign that his messengers had preached. See? Said, put the strike, the red cord there, and I'll, and my general Joshua will say, that's fine. That's true. What the messenger said, Joshua backed up. Now, if we say the same thing William Branham said, knowing as thus saith the Lord, God will back us up. See? And not a lot of ramifications, just simple as ABC. Joshua, when he said that, said, don't touch that house or anything in it. It is reserved for the Lord. Amen. A Gentile, a harlot, a streetwalker, but she heard and believed it, and she applied the token. Now, no matter how stooped you are in sin, and what you've done, here's the evangelical call now, so nobody had the Holy Ghost. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. You apply the token. In other words, you receive Christ in your heart. It is for you. If you feel in your heart there is something tugging, it is for you. If you will apply the token. Remember, years ago I preached on the fact that the sovereign grace of God determined whether that person be saved again. And a man said, well, he said, if this is all sovereign, how will I know? I said, the very fact that you came to me to ask proves that you're one of them. And he was. There's no two ways about it. Just like the man comes and said, Brother Branham, I believe I can jump give us in. He said, if you had, you wouldn't even come talking to me. He said, therefore, I know you haven't. Doesn't take determine on that one. See? Devil tries everything, but he can't handle that word. Oh, he handles it, mishandles it. You know. Gums it over. Now, the word Joshua means Jehovah Savior. So did Jesus mean the Savior. And Joshua, when he knew his messengers, come back and said, I've obeyed your orders. Now, here's the one, the messengers reporting to General Joshua, General Jesus. Remember, he's the captain host of Israel. See? He's the great one. I've obeyed your orders. We found this woman. We paid the tithe, you know. We found that woman that believed, and we told her that all that would come under the red sign back there, the token, it would mean, now we preach that. She'd be saved. Will you honor that, Joshua? See? He said, I sent you to do it. Amen. And then when that jarring came, the house never shook down. What did that mean? It meant the word that Joshua honored, based upon the vindicated prophet Moses, which of course was the token in pure vindication, absolutely stood in good stead, said nothing will happen now. You're safe. See, therefore a ministry or anybody outside of ministry, just give this word of truth. Anybody coming in can come right into Christ. And then Joshua stood there and gave the signal, destroyed the whole thing. Went right straight up. That is, over the walls. The walls fell down. Rahab and all her people sat right there in their possessions. Notice their possessions. Didn't lose anything. We got things stored up too. Amen, amen. All their possessions were in the house safely. We don't lose anything. Cause not one right to free their labor love. Everything is toted up for us. They just stood there. Didn't have to look out the window. They could read the scripture while the battle's going on. She came right back and was courted by the general of the army, raised up and came to Bethlehem. Her portion was lauded up in there to them. She brought forth a famous son. That famous son brought forth another famous son. That son brought forth another famous son until the great famous son came, that Jesus Christ. Rahab was part of that lineage, a Gentile. And you know, Israelitish men must not marry Gentiles. So God is practicing election all the way through. Right back there, amen. And foreknowledge. Son came right back down on through Obed, through Jesse, right to David. That's right. Harlot Rahab, because she believed the messenger, she applied the token, her house was saved, or she would have perished down there where she was at. Listen close now. Oh, say, do you recognize it? All under it was saved in Egypt. All under saved in Jericho. All under today, saved today. The blood bound, the blood lamb is a type of Jesus Christ. Remember this age, brother, sister? Wretched, miserable, naked, blind, don't know it, boasting, glorying in themselves. Malachi 4, neither leaving root nor branch. He's going to save us. Hebrews 13, 10 to 20. Ain't got time to read it. Put it down. I'm going to read it. It's called Everlasting Covenant. The blood of Jesus Christ is called the Everlasting Covenant. Yes, Everlasting Covenant. Why wasn't it called Eternal Covenant? Because it wouldn't be eternal. When we're redeemed, it's all over. Then it's just everlasting, which means certain amount of time. There will never be another one. When time runs out, we won't need any covenant. But until time runs out, we do need the covenant. The blood's been efficacious for us. It's still efficacious. What's going on? Everlasting covenant. God's blood-bound promise made us free from sin. Amen. There is no sin in them. Sin, self, flesh, worship him, and show forth his promised power. God's blood-bound. That is, we're bound by the blood. Token-bound. Bound by the Holy Ghost. Covenanted. People, have the Spirit of Christ in here till he that believeth on me, the work shall I do, shall he do also. Now, is that for a bride individual? No, it's for William Branham. That same Spirit coming up, remember, he does in the church, and there's messengers in whom he does, as well as those in the church in whom he does. But what he does in the church through those messengers is always uniquely different, and no one could ever have it in the last day there's a prophet. And that's in the singular, he that believeth. He said, you believe the token can do this? Sure, the token did it right through William Branham. Sure. Displaying the token, see? Manifesting. Prophetic ministry. New Testament. Testament means covenant. Isn't that right? Testament means covenant. New Testament means new covenant. The Old Testament of the Lamb and the life that could not come back on the believer. The New Testament was the Lamb of God and his life came back on us. Blood is life, see? Blood is the life of the New Testament, see? Life is from the blood of the Lamb, which means the New Testament, new covenant that God, after those days, will write my law upon Christ David's heart, not upon stony tables of Lamb's blood, which you say, yeah, I got the blood over there. What does it say now? Upon the tables of your heart, see, the Spirit covenant will I make with the people. And it displays his power. John 14:12, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What's he doing? Talking about today. The New Testament, new covenant, new life. He's telling you. This is that life you've always heard of. That was shed for you. Now it's proved itself. Do you want a part of it? You want a part of it? It's yours. Two things. What? Repent and be baptized. Change your mind. Say, hey, that's real. That's God. That stuff I had before wasn't it. That's why I was hungry. This is it. Then you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing's going to stop you. Well, that's just a make-believer. You're trying to come along for the ride. I don't say anybody would do that. Show Jesus has met every requirement for us that God required to make us back, truly sons and daughters of God, under the blood, where there's no more condemnation. He tells you this is a sign that you're back. Restoration. No condemnation. The blood scatters sin. There's no sin evidence. What does he see? Only the Spirit. The token. Romans 8:1. There is therefore no not condemnation them that are in Christ Jesus. Not those who are believing it. Those that are in Christ Jesus. That walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You're finished walking after the flesh. Why? Because you're walking into that. The rest of the man won't do those things. No way saving for him. See? Now he said, my word is Spirit, right? Oh, couldn't I take a text of that and stay a couple more hours? Lord, hurry over it. No more condemnation. Free from sin. Free from the cares of the world. No condemnation. Why? To them that have been by one Spirit baptized into one body. There the blood of the Lamb has been applied. That's the Lamb. God. The God of heaven has accepted you. His life is in you and your sons and daughters of God. Your character is God's character. Now watch. Now it goes back to what people don't, they think we mess up on. See? Brother Branham, knowing what people's hearts are going to be like and what their hearts are like, he pulls it right down. Your character is God's. What are you talking about here? A little pushover? No, sir. God is a God of judgment. God is a God of correction. It must be on the line. Nothing else will do. That is the kind of character you are because you are the character father. Watch. It's shining right there. If that light's in you, they don't have a character. As that line with the word, the life in us will cause us to mind with the word, which is compatible, though that would not be compatible. That's a special ministry. That's the life itself. God vindicating himself. But in you and me, there's a life, and that's compatible. It produces a fruit. The life, what was it? The life is taken from the blood. The life is taken. The life is taken for the blood. Not money from the blood. The life is taken for the blood now. The blood was applied. The life could not come upon the believer then, for the life was a life of an animal. But see, instead of a human being, it was a super, super, super human being. That's right. He wasn't a human being. And that makes the human being now not only a human being, but he's a son and daughter of God of the super, 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 super life that was in him, comes back upon you, and changes you from a sinner and the things of the world, a church member, denominational goer, to a born-again Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit and the life of God, just flowing from you like sparks from an anvil. Beautiful way to put it. Now, let me tell you something. What is a spark from an anvil? Now, does the old fellow, the old man, he heats the torch up, you know, he heats the hearth, you know, that blower up real good, you know, the forge, that's what it is, the forge, and he puts a piece of iron in there. Now, He takes a piece of iron, he starts beating on it. Now, the sparks do not come from the anvil. The sparks come off the red-hot metal he's beating on. So you and I are on the anvil. And our life, which is subject to all these things around, puts the pressure on us and shows that we belong to Christ by our responses and by our reaction. And that is our great failures right in there. But we still admit there's a life. We're not what we used to be, and we're not where we're going to be. That's true. We're just in the middle right now. But we're coming on. As you walk full of virtue, love, and gentleness, and the Holy Spirit moving, speaking, oh my, there you are. I can tell you one thing. I've seen Brother Branham appear very gruff, but he didn't tell lies. And I've seen these sweet guys. They didn't like the roughness, and they don't like a little exterior contradiction. But I've seen them with their sweetness, which is adultery and immorality, and all this other stuff. Not that, listen, not that you and I could not fall. Let's get that flat. But I'm just telling you, I've seen those men stand as though they couldn't fall. They had God in their pocket, in God's pocket. Nothing against them. That's fine. They do what they want. That's their business, and they will do what they want. And I will do what I want, which I want to try to serve Almighty God. Not that I'm doing a good job. Never have said it. Never will. There you are. See? And with what? Hearing the message. Watching the pillar of fire. The blessed assurance. I pass in death and life. Therefore, there's no condemnation. If our hearts condemn us not, then we have our petition. It swings into the fact of prayer. See, this is where you go from. Watch the whole thing. We know. But if sin is in our heart, it condemns us. We might as well not even start. You've got to get free from sin. And the only way to get free from sin is getting Him. That is the only covering there is for sin is in Christ. Now that tells you how to get peace with God and peace with the world, peace yourself. And that peace is a different kind of peace because you know it has to do with the sin, Christ, and the future. But there isn't any peace when you think about yourself, by yourself, what you can do and have done and might do again. Therefore, He looks at the token. That's where your passage is. Your passage is not you, brother, sister. Let's get this flat. You have a passage, and you are not the passage. He is the passage. And when you try to think you are any kind of a passage, you are wiped out. Because you stole the glory from God. How are you going to be near Him if He won't share His glory, and you're sharing it already? Remember the covenant blood. The covenant blood is not recognized without the token. You cannot say, well, I've been sanctified from things. That is not the token. The Spirit is the token. The Spirit of Christ upon you, believe it. Now, we're not going to go any further than that because that's far enough tonight. I don't even know where I'm going to recap on that part. But you can see we started up by telling you tonight that Brother Branham, we ourselves are thoroughly misunderstood as to our stand on fruitage, power, and those things in the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Brother, sister, our stand is right with the prophet. But we can see what he was saying. The token himself is here. And it hasn't got one thing to do with you and me as per se producing it. But he produced himself and sealed ourselves so that we could have what he produces and what he is, which is the resurrection and the life and we're moving into it. Now then, you try to have anything that pleases God that borders in that area, that line, outside of that itself, and let me tell you, you are mistaken, and you better come tonight for repentance and be baptized over again and seek God to fill you. Like I said concerning one preacher who went and followed another person, and that person anyone well knows was certainly an insane person. And he called him a greater problem, William Branham. I said, I would have to see that man go to know her. I don't like speaking like this, but I'm going to just tell it anyway. I've lost all confidence. I have to see that man go to an altar or something and say, look, I couldn't have had the Holy Ghost or something was radically wrong. We're not in an hour to be deceived anymore, brother, sister. If you're thinking you're looking for some other evidence, let me tell you something. You have blown it and blown it badly. The last sign the church saw was that little simple thing called discernment. And if you can't take that and glory in it, and I know it's difficult. Come on, look, I'm not trying to sell you, Billy. Good, but old Lee Bailey's all hepped up in a hot fat. I get as low as in my cups as you get in yours, and maybe a whole lot lower. I got my problem. But I know this one thing. He's given us a sound mind, and the sound mind always says, look, that's it. We saw something. And if we're wrong, we're at least wrong than anybody else. And that counts. Because we know why? Because the day that sin the most get the most stripes. And if you see that much, and you come that close, because you know that's God somewhere in there, at least the lake of fire won't hold us too long. Or we'll come to the second resurrection and walk around outside the glory of the New Jerusalem. But I'm believing for higher things than that. I'm identifying tonight through the blood of the Lamb and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't got one thing to do with me, brother, sister. Not one thing. I didn't produce one thing, and I never will produce one thing. It has to do with that. It's a price being paid. And he gave it to us. That's the story. That's the picture. That's the whole thing. See? But keep on walking with God. Keep on building yourself up in the most holy faith. Take every opportunity. As Brother Brand said, to display and apply, which means in that particular term, act with the confidence that he is with you to give you that manifested life that's pleasing to God. And people can say, yes, God's in that person. Sure. I trust you're getting the picture, brother, sister, because to me this is the only thing that counts, is knowing what he came to tell us. That understanding and to come into this full maturity of Christ. Let's rise at this time. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we come to you tonight thankful in our hearts for your goodness, mercy, love, and truth. Looking forward, Lord, to service on Sunday, and looking forward also to see your people healed, thinking again tonight of Ruth, Lord, and different ones we think of that, first sister Jenny's mother, father, I don't know, her mother, Lord, we don't know what's going to happen there, but we know, Father, that the dear lady doesn't understand the things of God, but that's nothing impossible to you, Lord. We don't know that Peter's mother understood too much at one time, the centurion's servant, or the fine person, that great man of the Sanhedrin's daughter. We don't know too much about those things, Lord, or the man sitting at the gate beautiful, where they didn't know too much, but they got help. And, Lord, we pray tonight for help then for that the sister, Lord, that she might be helped. Oh, God, Jenny's sister might have the help that she needs tonight. We ask you, Lord, for these other requests too, not acting as though that other prayers aren't sufficient, but, Lord, we know that they're looking to us because we're friends of theirs. They hear the word, Lord, that's preached in this place here. They get the tapes and everything else, Lord, and they're looking to us as a people. And so we want to hold them up, Lord. And I just pray that now, and what we're really praying for at this moment is the people tonight will remember in their prayers tonight and the days to come that you, Lord, will impress upon their minds and our minds to remember these special requests tonight as we have already remembered them at certain times, O God. But remember them continuously that they might have help. And praying always and sincerely for the Greens, Lord. And praying always sincerely for each other, Lord. And for that we might have help and be a blessing to each other. And people having problems, Lord, to not add to the problem, but to take away from the problem by helping to lift the problem. Help us all, Lord, to be what you would have us to be. And we know you're trying to help us, Father. And if it takes a stringent measure, then all right, we're candidates for it. So, Father, we give our hearts to you tonight. We hope anew and our lives anew, O God, with increased faith and understanding, Lord, that your Spirit is working in us mightily and will continue until we conform to that image in the glory of God. Father, we desire that above everything in the world. And yes, we say that, but I wonder if we really do. We really mean it, Lord, as much as we can mean anything, that we hunger and thirst for it. Whether we pay the price or not, I don't know, Father. But I do know we hunger and thirst for it. Help us, O God, to be changed, Lord. Change, change, change. Until one day, the members of our body are changed too. May your sweet Spirit, Lord, fill every heart tonight, erasing every sin, and bringing not just a compatibility and a tolerance amongst us, but a love, O God, that we're united together by the Holy Spirit, that all men might see that we love you and love each other, that we belong to Christ and belong to each other. And unto the King eternal and mortal, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Just sing, take the name of Jesus with you.